Well, hello there, and welcome to round six of the American Le Mans Series. This is John Heindorf at Connecticut at Lime Rock Park for the start of the second half of the American Le Mans Series in 2007. Now, at the moment, you can't hear any cars going round, but if we turn up the effects mic outside, you could probably hear the sound of the storm, which has just blown in about 15 minutes ago. It was a beautiful day. We've been out in shirt sleeves. It was in the mid-80s earlier today, and the temperature's dropped by about 10 or 12 degrees in the last hour, and we are in the midst of a torrential rainstorm. I could have stayed at home in Sheffield if I'd wanted weather like this. The last few weeks, for those of you who aren't aware, listening on the internet around the world, particularly in Yorkshire, around Sheffield and Doncaster, have been particularly wet. It's about 3 weeks' worth of rain falling in, I think, 48 hours in one case. And we are having just that kind of rainstorm right now. Now, the bad news is that the wind has dropped and the rain is pretty much coming straight down. And this looks like it's going to be in for a while. We've got very low clouds. The wind's just blowing, actually starting to pick up again now, and it's blowing in from the eastern side of the circuit. And I'm afraid that as it stands at the moment, I can't imagine too many of the American Le Mans Series teams and drivers will be venturing out. Now, the other consideration is that at the moment we have no corner workers out on the circuit, and the reason for that is because there's lightning in the air, and that click that you may have just heard over the broadcast is the lightning in the air. Hello to you if you're here at the track. John Heindorf here for the American Le Mans Series Radio Network. We are feeding the PA system here as well as 454 on the scanner frequency, and across the world at RadioLeMans.com, 0157.org, and of course on Sky Channel 0157 across the UK and Europe via Globecast Radio. And that was a very, very large shock of lightning. And I'm watching the Porsche Cayenne safety vehicle heading down the front straight. And there is a good inch and a half of water just standing on the front straight at the moment. So we're on hold here for the sixth round of the American Le Mans Series, the Northeast Grand Prix. So let me just tell you what happened this morning in the first of our hour-long session. It was a session that belonged to Porsche in the shape of Romain Dumas and Timo Bernard. And that's almost like a percussion firework. I can feel that through the floor. I know you can hear it because I can hear it on the effects mic. The time in the mid-44s, 44-second lap for Romain this morning on what has been a very green track because of all the rain that we've had around these parts over the last few days. A little bit slower than the test on Tuesday. It was Guy Smith in second position. And then the first of the Acuras, and in fourth place, Sascha Massinger sneaked up into fourth place towards the end of the session. The big story was the relatively poor performance of the two Audi R10 TDIs, down in seventh and eighth position and 1.7 seconds away from the fastest car. Now, just getting in from the media room, Lee and Ryan are keeping me up to date with what's going on down there. Thanks, guys. I've got the computer here. The session has officially been put on hold by Marty Kaufman. Our race director was due to get underway in about a minute's time. There are no cars in the pit lane. If you'd like to email us, studio@radiolemans.com. Studio@radiolemans.com. That's the easiest one to do. And I'll pick those up from here. We do have connectivity. Yeah, although no ISDN lines this weekend, so if you're wondering why it sounds like I'm talking to you down a phone line, that's because I'm talking to you down a phone line, and a very damp phone line as well at the moment. It's just like being back at Le Mans. Let me just go through the rest of the major times as they were set this morning in that 1 hour session. It was the four from the three GM Chevy Corvette in the GT1 battle, and in the GT2 battle it was Thomas Enger who set the time about three quarters of the way through, just after halfway through actually, the session in the 31 Pixton White Lightning car. Darren Turner finished off that session in the 31 Ferrari 430 GT Berlinetta. In second place for much of the session was the 21, the Singleton Panos Esperante, Bill Oberlin. I think did the whole session this morning, and he was just less than a tenth of a second away from the pole position for, or the fastest time, should I say, for most of that session. And right at the end, Mika Salo in the 62 Rossi Competizione Ferrari slipped in there and managed to get in between the Panos and the Ferrari. Mika not very happy this morning when we spoke to him. Got Cliff coming out the final corner, was very unhappy with some of the driving standards of the prototype cars. Now, I'm told that no cars have gone into the pit lane, not because they've been forbidden to do so, but nobody wants to roll out of the paddock. And I can't say I blame them, to be honest. Absolutely nothing to be gained by going out in this weather. It's very dark. It's basically the same sort of darkness that one would expect in these kind of areas in about 4 or 5 hours' time. We have low clouds. I can't see the hillside now, though, which I couldn't before, and that I hope is a good sign. But we have rivers of water at the chicane, I'm being told, and still, as you can probably hear from our effects mic, we have been visited by a thoroughly impressive thunderstorm. Let's just go through one or two of the other entrants here. We are welcoming back to the American Le Mans Series the Vandisteur Racing Radical SR9 with the AER 4-cylinder turbo engine on their Dunlop tyres this weekend. Gunnar Vandisteur is joined by Adam Pecorari, who's made his name in some of the junior Formula Star Master, I seem to remember him racing in last couple of seasons, and has been a regular on the American Le Mans Series support package. As I said, we've only got one of the Panos Team PTG Esperantes here this weekend in the hands of Joey Hand and Bill Oberlin, who did the work this morning. Brian Herter was the best of the Acuras this morning in the Andretti Green Racing XM Satellite Radio Acura 018. And the other, if you haven't caught up with all the news, the other big talking point this weekend is that the prototype 2 cars have been told that they must use the 5% smaller restrictor as mandated by the ACO, the same specifications that they were running at Le Mans and have been running in the European series right throughout the season. The ALMS, if you remember, decided not to enforce that 5% restrictor downsizing at the start of the year, and Dr. Wolfgang Ulrich from Audi was particularly critical of that. Well, it seems that halfway through the season, the ALMS have decided to have a look at that performance equation and apply the restrictor rules. Also, as far as P2 are concerned, Porsche, the DHL Penske Porsches and the Dyson Thetford Norcold cars will be running on the 10% ethanol mix this weekend, which they have had dispensation to stay away from for the first half of the season. They cited some problem parts in the engine that couldn't deal with the new mix of fuel. The IMSA and the ALMS gave them a little time to work that out. They're confident now, and speaking to someone in one of the teams, saying that they've got all of the performance and economy back that they would have lost by changing onto the 10% ethanol mix. So they're confident that it won't affect their performance too much. In the meantime, Acura, happy to state that they've achieved all their results this season on that mix of fuel. That would seem to suggest that the storm isn't moving very far, wouldn't it? So the safety vehicles are out on the circuit. Both the Porsche Cayennes are out there. We've got the trucks running around as well, just trying to dissipate, I think, some of the water from the start-finish strip. But really, and the amount that's falling at the moment, I think that is more for the officials just to see how the track is holding up. There's been quite a lot of rain around this area recently. I was taking a couple of back roads on the way in on Thursday and decided to explore some of the local scenery. Went off down a dirt road and only got 3/4 of the way down the road that I was going to before half of it was missing and had to fire off through the trees to get around where I wanted to go. And that flashing was one of the IMSA trucks going past on the track outside. So just going through one or two other of the entries. Dindal Capello and Alan McNish paired together, of course. We've got the Le Mans winners, Emmanuel Pirro and Mark O'Verner. And Emmanuel, he was just so unhappy this morning when he got out of the car. The number two, Audi Sport North America, Audi Truth in Engineering, Arsen TDI. Not happy at all. I think they came into this knowing they were going to be some way off the pace of the Porsches, but 1.7 seconds this morning, I think, was probably towards the worst end of their computation. The car didn't look at all balanced around here, whereas the lighter and more nimble P2 cars were looking particularly good. Clinton John failed with Richard Berry in the Intersport Racing car. A little bit of damage on that car this morning, but that car getting up to speed as well. And for those of you who were asking, no CET Solarari Porsche Spyder here. We expect to see that car possibly at the next round at Mid-Ohio. And, don't forget, you can drop us a line, studio@radiolemans.com if you're listening around the world. Indeed, if you're sitting somewhere here at the track, listening in to us as well. That's John Hindhoff. And at the moment, the whole team is huddled inside our broadcast studio, waiting for the rain to ease. Now, this may just be my boyish enthusiasm, but it's brightening up from the direction from whence the weather is arriving, and I can see a little bit of sunshine and some fluffier, whiter clouds rather than the blackness that has been engulfing us for the last few moments. And whilst the rain is still falling heavily, it is not as heavy as it was when you first came to us some 15 minutes ago, both in severity and in the size of the raindrops. It's by no means even a drizzle at the moment, though. Still very heavy. It's going to be a little while before we can first people out. The first hint to us will be once we get the word from race control that the lightning has passed and the corner workers are put back on station. No problems about running in the wet here, as all of the teams have brought wet weather tyres. Not sure how much wet weather running we've had in the American Le Mans Series this year. I can't seem to remember very much of it. So setup might be a bit of an interesting guesstimate. The session, though, on hold at the moment, if you're just joining us on the American Le Mans Series Radio Network, live from round 6 of the ALMS 2007, Lime Rock Park, Connecticut. And a severe thunder and rainstorm has put the race on hold, with the corner work has been stood down in the lightning storm. There's definitely a hint of lighter skies coming across from behind our commentary booth, which is over towards Bridge Corner on the track. This little 1.54 mile circuit has the configuration that we're running now with the chicane in. The chicane adds about a tenth of a mile to this track and does slow down the track quite markedly. Notice that the Formula BMWs weren't using the chicane this morning and they were tremendously spectacular over the top of the rise, almost getting airborne. Obviously the faster cars were. So we're waiting to hear from race control when the corner workers will be asked to head back to their point. Water running across the track at the bottom of the hill at Turn 8 at the final corner. That's just off to our left, although we don't have a window that can see quite that far. If I open this door here, if we can see anything out of there. Oh, no, something in there, which I've just broken now. Oh dear. That looks like it's expensive as well. Let's close the door and say nothing. You're listening to the American Le Mans Series Radio Network. As we're on hold for, believe it or not, a rain delay. I never thought I'd hear myself saying that on sports car racing. And then again, we did have the Nürburgring 24 hours stopped for 6 hours for fog. Now, that rain, I'm afraid, is picking up a little bit, but certainly much brighter skies, and the wind has dropped completely. The two flags on the former BMW USA transporter, which is right at the back of our booth, are now hanging very damply and limply at their flagpoles. No movement at all there. And I look up at the top of the hill, I can see the Audi chalet at the Porsche Palace. And certainly, good places to be at the moment, I would have thought. TV crew, just over the far side of the parking area, sheltering under the awning. There's no chance of those guys being put back on to their stations and built. There is no chance of any lightning. You do not want to be sitting holding onto a piece of metal on a metal structure. There's lightning in the air. Really the best thing to be doing. Now, the drains are coping remarkably well. There is a drain just off to the back of us here, and an awful lot of water is running down from the grass area into it. This is certainly very similar to the conditions we had that put the Nürburgring 24 on hold for 2 hours before the start of that race, where there was rivers of water cascading over the top of triple layer Armco around the circuit, like waterfalls. And clearly you couldn't race in that. None of the drivers mind the wet conditions, but if you're going to be aquaplaning and having standing water there, that's just not acceptable. And that is the situation as we stand at the moment. Studio at RadioLeMans.com for those of you who would like some questions answering. Seems that over the last couple of days I've been talking to this team, they are very happy to be back getting ready to race. The few teams who went to Le Mans obviously have had something to do. However, the rest of the LMS grid have been doing some testing. Some of them just taking some time off. It's a very hectic schedule now towards the end of the season. Basically, after this, we're almost doing a race every other week, or in some cases, we do have consecutive weekends. News from race control is that there's still lightning around the area, and therefore we're still on hold, although I can now see a little bit of steam rising from the dummy grid in front of us, and the blue sky coming, and a bit of sunshine. The safety trucks are on the circuit, and I'm told that their lap times won't count towards qualifying, so no chance of a GM Silverado on pole position for this weekend at the moment. And this is a great chance to thank all of our corner workers and safety workers who give their time up so that we can come motor racing. And particularly when weather is like this, it makes you just realise what a fantastic job they do. So our thanks do go out to them. Now, the rain is slowing down again. And we have got, I can see blue sky. I can actually see blue sky. Tremendous stuff. However, I look the other way, still looking a bit overcast. We're in almost a bowl here at Lime Rock Park, between the hillsides. And it's very, very green around here. Tremendously verdant area. And clearly, you can't have so much green without having a drop of rain or two. And I think we've just had about a month's worth. That's dropped on us here. You're listening to the American Le Mans Series. No cars on track. As we are waiting for the thunderstorm to pass. The rain isn't the problem, but the lightning is. No corner workers out there at the moment. And we have got a break in the weather coming towards us. I'm thinking possibly no more than 10 or 15 minutes. That will be overhead. And it feels like the temperature's rising again, and certainly the steam coming up from the dummy grid tarmac in front of us, asphalt in front of us. This track, you can't have so much green without having a drop of rain or two. And I think we've just had about a month's worth. Just dropped on us there. You're listening to the American Le Mans Series. No cars on track, as we are waiting for the thunderstorm to pass. The rain isn't the problem, but the lightning is. No corner workers out there at the moment. And we have got a break in the weather coming towards us. I'm thinking possibly no more than 10 or 15 minutes. That will be overhead. And it feels like the temperature's rising again, and certainly the steam coming up from the dummy grid tarmac in front of us, asphalt in front of us. This track, particularly around at turn 2 and 3, does have a bit of a reputation for having standing water on the grass area. I remember the Aston Martin going off there a year or two ago, and it took them half a day to clean out the mud from the underbody. Pedro Lamy was in the car in front of us. This track, particularly around at turn 2 and 3, does have a bit of a reputation for having standing water on the grass area. I remember the Aston Martin going off there a year or two ago, and it took them half a day to clean out the mud from the underbody. Pedro Lamy was in the car, Ryan Smith reminds us. Yes, he had a very eventful couple of races as he took to the air backwards at Mid-Ohio and flew further than the Wright brothers did in their inaugural flight. We did some very clever calculations with that and worked out he's gone about half as far again as the Wright brothers down towards Peak. Turn 5 complex at Madness in Mid-Ohio. Studio at RadioLeMans.com. Emma, who's listening in to find out how Stefan Johansson did this morning. He was right on the pace, to be honest. I think he finished 5th this morning, from memory, Emma. Says, ever thought of getting a job on the Weather Channel? It's great when the meeting flashes the weather to what I can see out of my window in Darlington. Studio at RadioLeMans.com. Thanks, Emma, for that, in the northeast of England. Quaker country. A big blue sky now. I do think that it's going to be only a matter of, as I said before, 5 or 10 minutes before we are up to some kind of situation where we'll be rolling the corner workers back out onto the front of their post. And I think it's almost time that we can rather cruelly send our pit lane reporters out into the weather. Nearly stopped. Go on, get out there. Go and get your packs on. So Bernadette and Jim head off into a brightening situation. Sit the golf cart. Yeah. And it will be only a little while, I think, before we start moving. Clearly now we are a quarter of an hour behind time. You're listening to the American Le Mans Series Radio Network. Watching rain falling. Rain delay at Mid-Ohio. At Lime Rock Park, my apologies. Mid-Ohio the next round. So just another few minutes, I think, before we do get things underway here. Big patch of blue sky now, already over the turn 8 end of the circuit. And the rain has almost stopped. Tremendous. It will not be long, I'm sure, before we get some movement. Is the rain like the rain at Le Mans? Yes, wet, falling from the sky. Almost identical, I would say, Lee. Was it raining harder there at the end of the race? What we've just had here was harder than, as hard at least, as anything we had at Le Mans, when there was fat action or not. And they brought the safety car out, of course, at the end of the race, and then let the cars go with the 15 minutes to go. Still water running across the track at turn 7, which is the turn just before the bridge. As soon as that is seen to and addressed, then the likelihood is we get quite a lot of water running across the access roads here, down into the drains. It's not pooling up, but it's draining away somewhere, so that's good news. As we're waiting for word now from our colleagues at Race Control as to when exactly this session might start. It's a 1 hour session, remember, and rolling pretty much straight into qualifying. And you're listening to the American Le Mans Series live on the ALMS Radio Network. This weekend, the only place you can hear full live coverage is right here with us. No TV channels either in America or in Europe and the UK are airing the race live, particularly, I believe, on Sunday for the CBS Sports Spectacular, and on Monday evening on Motors TV, Sky Channel 413. I think that is 7 o'clock UK time, if memory serves. Now, the rain has pretty much stopped now, and it is going to be very, very humid out there because there's a big patch of blue sky, big horseshoe of it just coming towards us, and the temperature is going to shoot back up again, and that the amount of standing water that we have around, the humidity is going to be really awful, particularly for the drivers, I would have thought, in the closed stock cars, and also water egress might be a problem as well. Flashing through in front of us goes another one of the GM safety trucks for the American Le Mans Series. One p.m. Eastern time on Sunday on CBS is the highlights of this race. Now, a reminder for those of you here at the circuit, Saturday, 11:35, 25 minutes to 12, the open house, followed by the ever-popular American Le Mans Series driver autograph session, 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. And, of course, the open grid policy, the American Le Mans Series, the only major motorsport series to give the fans the opportunity to walk the grid, chat with the drivers, and get up close to the cars and stars of the series, just minutes before the green flag. Open grid on Saturday, race day, at 3:30. I think the Mont Series still, of course, for the fans, and a great way for you to keep up with the action in the LMS. If you are away from the track, log on to the official website for the series, www.americanlemans.com. Up-to-the-minute news, race information and schedules, as well as live timing and scoring, merchandise, and much more, including the feed to the American Le Mans Series Radio Network. That's American Le Mans Series website, www.americanlemans.com. Now, I'm going to say that the race has all but stopped now. I think one or two little drops of it, barely. Holding, barely making any marks in the puddles outside. So, clearing skies towards the north and the west. More scattered rain in New York that's heading this way We are heard. Hello to Andy Walcott from Creation Autosportif USA. That should give you a hint as to the Creation will be a Petite and Laguna for the final two rounds of the American Le Mans Series, thanks to their sponsors. Andy tells us we'll have a surprise driver announcement, but more of that to come soon. You can't say that, Andy. You just have to hang in there. Best of luck to the two P1 Creations and the crew here from the UK to help the US team. All the best from Creation North Carolina, Andy Wolgar. And Bill Beduska says, will they be coming out with full reins or intermediate? I'll say this is full wet spin, to be quite honest, at the moment. Be interesting to see how quickly it dries, and certainly for qualifying, it might be last man out gets full as the track dries. It'll be very good. Jim Casey says, did you get something good to drive for the weekend? A nice new Shelby Mustang from Hurst, maybe? Nice and sunny here in Savannah. Looking forward to seeing you and the gang of PLM at Le Mans. 10th year at Le Mans this year, of course. And next year, a huge celebration of 10 years of the American Le Mans Series. Jim, I'm driving an Acura in MDX this weekend, which is a fine automobile. Studio at RadioLeMans.com. If you'd like to drop us a line while we're waiting for the track to go live again. And go outside, actually. And I've pushed rather sportingly, when I pushed the guys out the door, they did actually respond by picking up their radio mic. And Jim Martin, has the rain actually stopped out there?
The rain has actually stopped out here. There's a small crowd of people looking at the R8 parked in front of the American Le Mans Series merchandise trailer. And actually, we stopped here for a reason to see if there was rain gear for sale. And anime tells us that there's lots to be chosen from. If you like the American Le Mans Series radio people, came not quite 100% prepared for the weather today. Well, they can solve most of those problems for you. So if you're looking for rain gear, this is a great place to stop. Plus. They certainly have some of the nice staff in Greater Connecticut for you to talk to at the same time.
Jim Martin out there rejoining us. Great to have Jim back. We were just talking at lunch, 10th anniversary of Jim and I meeting and working together. The first Petite Le Mans was the first time that we shook hands and introduced ourselves and started working on what has now become the American Le Mans Series Radio Network. And just to remind everybody here, the scanner frequency is 454 even, 454.0. And you can tune in even when the cars are going around, you can still hear us. Steam now rising from the front straight, quite a bizarre sight. And indeed from the tarmac in front of us as well. Studio at RadioLeMans.com, by the way. Fans beginning to make their way back to the hillside on the front straight, drivers left. And abandoned lawn chairs are starting to refill. Starting to refill what? Is what I want. That's very clever, seeing a lawn chair that you can train to refill anything. Declan Brennan, who's with us this weekend, says, abandoned lawn chairs are starting to refill. How many letters is that? It sounds like a crossword question. I think it's an anagram on R starting 2. I'm not sure. The American Le Mans Series, of course, has partnered with EPIC, the Ethanol Promotion and Information Council, to make E10 the official ethanol-enriched fuel of the American Le Mans Series. With the exception of the diesel-powered Audi race cars, all of the cars in the American Le Mans Series are racing with E10 fuel from this race in the 2017 season. EPIC is an alliance of ethanol producers and industry leaders who have come together to spread the word about the benefits of ethanol through information and promotional programs. A non-profit organization. Learn more about ethanol. Visit drivingethanol.org. Now, whilst we've just got a moment, I should also remind you about how you fans can become a part of the action at the American Le Mans Series with American Le Mans Series Fantasy Racing, presented by Lowe's Home Improvement Store. As a team owner with a salary cap, you have the flexibility of choosing the teams that you want to race at the races you decide to enter. Players have a chance to compete for over $15,000 in prizes. So whether you are a first-time racer or a real fantasy specialist, it's also something new and exciting for everyone. Find out about the American Le Mans Series Fantasy Racing, sponsored by Lowe's Home Improvement Store at AmericanLeMans.com. Now, here at the track, we have an impressive array of fantastic sports cars. It's the American Le Mans Series, the test program. And who better to give us the rundown than the person who's making it all happen, Paddy Mayer, who is with Jim Martin outside in the weather.
We're here talking to Paddy Mayer, standing in the midst of some of the most exceptional production cars that you can imagine. We've got a Porsche GT3, of course, the newest and shiniest of the 911 brand. We've got a Z06 Chevy Corvette, and we've got the beautiful Audi R8.
Wow.
The best of the brand, and Paddy Mayer is here, and among other things, not only the American Le Mans Series brings the finest sports car racing to everybody at Lime Rock this weekend, but we also get a chance to show off some of the best-looking cars that people can drive out of the showrooms with, too, and the Vitesse program with the American Le Mans Series. How did that start, when, and how does it evolve to where it is today?
Well, first of all, the test means speed in French. And basically, we have various manufacturers who have given us excellent cars, and we're basically here trying to demonstrate the relevance of all the work that the teams are putting into their motorsports effort and how that directly relates to the showroom floor. Our GT3 Porsche that we have here is the same model that runs the RSR and the GT2. And we've got, the Z06 that we have, all the technology that the Corvette team puts into their effort goes directly into the production of this car. Our R8, our Audi, beautiful. All of that technology came from Audi's previous R8 effort. And it's really great because all of our fans get to see what wonderful products are out there. And they're killer fun to drive, which is the best part about it.
And it's really amazing because she has the biggest smile right now talking about how much fun they are to drive than anybody I've seen at Lime Rock all weekend long. As far as these cars, the fun to drive piece of it, on behalf of everybody here that maybe never had a chance to see the Audi R8 or seen an up-close personal look at a GT3 or find out exactly how close the engineering comes to the showrooms, this is a great way. Maybe it's a step into what it's really about today as opposed to in the past. It used to be race it on Sunday, sell it on Monday. It's engineer it on race day and sell it on Monday here, and that's what this seems to be about.
And please come down and visit us. We're down in the main paddock right in front of the American Le Mans Series merchandising, and we'd love to show you our cars, talk to you about our cars, meet the drivers. We have, myself included, three very accomplished road racers that are out there piloting these vehicles, and we're here to chat with you and show you our beautiful vehicles, so please come down and join us.
Thank you very much, Paddy Mayer, who's one of the people in charge of having a good time with and enjoying every moment of the day with the American Le Mans Series, the test program, the beautiful cars in front of the merchandise trailer here at Lime Rock.
Right, here's the latest news then, that qualifying will be starting at 3:30, so 15 minutes time. 3:30 till 5:20, 3:30 till 4:40, and qualification has been cancelled, we're hearing now. There will be no qualification this afternoon. It will be open practice. Well, that's an interesting move, which means that Dyson Racing are going to be on the outside of the front row. We'll see if we can get someone from IMSA or the American Le Mans Series to explain that to us and why that decision has been taken. So open practice from about 15 minutes time to for an hour and 10 minutes, presumably for people to get some wet weather running in, should they want it. But I have to say that the weather forecast for tomorrow is fine and clear and very warm indeed. So how many people will actually bother going out? I'm not entirely certain. They might go out and scrub a few sets of wet up, but other than that, I can't see many people doing a lot of running, I'm afraid. So not much of a spectacle. So not really certain why we've decided not to have the practice session. And we will get an official word on that. So let's go down into the pit lane and pick up some reaction. Our new voice on the American Le Mans Series Radio Network this weekend is Bernadette Sanicola, and she's down at Audi with Emanuele Pirro, Le Mans winner, Emanuele Pirro, of course.
Absolutely. Big congratulations to him, and glad to be here, John. Thanks for
welcoming me in. Emmanuel, you talk about the qualifying being it being canceled here.
Yeah, well, it's wet, as we can see. So I think it's okay. It's an okay decision, although probably in like half an hour time the truck would be good enough to drive. But it's okay, fine for me. We wanted to have some dry track time to kind of improve the car, but we have to deal with what we got. And I have a lot of faith in our engineers. They are now looking and playing on a PlayStation and find out the best setup for this racetrack. So
have you been playing on that PlayStation as well, learning any tricks or anything to help you out on this track?
No, of course, just kidding, but we have a whole bunch of computers and smart guys who are trying to find out the best setup. Obviously, our car is an LMP1. It's a heavy car, not the most agile one around here, so we have to deal with it.
And this is something you had experience with, that 24-hour in the rain and in that race. Congratulations to you there. But this weather is not as bad, but would you prefer to be on the track now? Or
no, actually, our car is really good in the rain. It's very nice. In Le Mans, it was okay, but just...
You were the one holding up the safety car sign at Le Mans, if I remember.
Yeah, you remember well, and yeah, this has been not the most high-tech way to communicate to the race direction. Actually, I got the race director's private phone number after that, so he told me next time, please call me directly on the mobile. But just sometimes for the people who are not driving, it's hard to realize how dangerous it is out there. And I think driving in the wet is a lot of fun, as long as you can go flat out on the straight. If you cannot go flat out on the straight because you lose control of the car, then it's not fun anymore. And in Le Mans, it was by far beyond this situation. And so there was nothing because of us, or, you know, it was just an unsafe situation. I was raising the question, actually, during the driver's briefing, and he said, oh, don't worry, I will really, you know, look after your safety, no problem. But probably in that moment, you know, his umbrella was a little too big.
All right. Well, Emmanuel Ifiro, congratulations on your Le Mans victory, and thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. See you later.
Okay, see you later.
Very much more animated, Emmanuel Ifiro.
Much more animated. Much more in good spirits now for Audi. Good to hear him back.
Absolutely. Now, let's just go through the times from this morning, as we have Romain Dumas with the fastest time from this morning. So we'll sit on the pole position of 44.6. Now, none of these times, of course, will be entered because it wasn't official practice session, so they will not be entered as lap records, or they shouldn't be, at least. Now, that's a Peterson White Lightning Ferrari going behind us. Any second now, you'll hear it come in front of us. So they've decided to go out and do some running. The other thing that I'm just hearing, of course, is that the cars will not now have to start the race tomorrow on marked tyres because they weren't marked in practice. So that rule's gone out the window as well. So there will be a free-for-all on tyres tomorrow. That's going to be very interesting because no tyres were marked in the practice session this morning. So just to reiterate then, we have a free practice session starting in 10 minutes time for an hour and 10 minutes. The grid has been set with the Friday morning practice time. So Timo Bernhard and Romain Dumas will sit on the pole position on the driver's right as they head down towards the first corner tomorrow. And a 44.6 second lap just ahead by about half a second of Guy Smith. It was he did the time for the Dyson Porsche RS Spyder. So the Penske car, the only one in the 44-second mark as the Highcroft Racing Acura comes to us with a cover over the back wing, making it look like it's bringing a sideboard with it as it pulls up. It's absolutely pointless because as soon as they go out, people can see what the wing setting is. If you really want to. It just looks like it's brought an item of furniture with it. It's stretching right from the top all the way down the front. Either that or I'm expecting to see some sort of... Oh, well, now that sounds to me as if the track might have been open. I think it has. Pit lane has been open. So the pit lane is now open. The cars will drive straight down. Let's go on through the times then. Dumas, Bernhard, and then Dyson and Smith. Guy Smith doing the time. Stefan Johansson and David Brabham will be off position number three on the inside of row two. Alongside them, Brian Herter and Marino Franchini. So Porsche, Porsche, Acura, Acura. In fifth position, Sasha Martin with Ryan Briscoe in the second of the DHL Penske Porsche RS Spiders. And rounding off the front three rows, Adrian Fernandez and Luis Diaz in the Lowe's Home Improvement Acura. Top six, front three rows, all P2 cars for the start of the Northeast Grand Prix, round six of the American Le Mans Series. The first of the P1 cars, remember these theoretically are the quicker cars, Dindo Capello and Alan McNish in position seven, the inside of row number four, some 1.7 seconds slower than what is now the pole time, although of course it won't stand, as we said, as that it wasn't an official practice session, therefore it won't stand as a qualifying record either. Pirro and Werner on position 8 with a 1:18.8, almost 2 full seconds away from that fastest time. Now I did say that I thought if the Audis were in the front 4 rows, they would have a chance of being ahead at the first corner with all that talk. I wonder if they might be able to get through. The pole drivers are, or at least the top qualifiers, are all in the pit lane at the moment. We'll try and get a word with them from our pit lane reporting team, as we have track dryers, blowers, and the IMSA safety guys with the good old-fashioned brooms out there. The full complement of Porsche and GM safety vehicles are out there on a steaming track. And whilst there is some water there, it's certainly improving very, very quickly indeed. Carry on with the times then. In position number 9, and over 2.2 seconds away from the fastest time, Andy Wallace and Butch Leitinger, the second of the Dyson Racing Porsches. Just ahead by about another second of Jamie Back and Ben Devlin in the Mazda Speed Lola. In 11th position, that was 10th position, in 11th position, John and Clint Field and Richard Berry in the Creation Autosport, the Creation Intersport car. And then the final prototype is the 12th position for Van der Steur and Adam Pecoraro. Gunnar Van der Steur in that car this morning. What we're in is the GT cars. Olivier Barreto and Ollie Davin, the faster of the two Corvettes. Great battle in GT2 with Thomas Enger just pipping Mika Salo. And it really was the merest hint of time. 52-4-31. And 53-1-38 for Mika Salo. Bill Oberlin was right up there, right throughout the session, held the fastest time for a long time, 53-2, in third position in the only Panos Esperante GTLM that we have here this weekend. Just the 21 car will be racing. Ralph Kellners and Tom Milner Jr. in fourth position in class in the Rahal Letterman Porsche, 53-9-66. Eric Ellery, Nick Johnson in fifth position in the second of the Ricci Competizione cars, 61 Ferrari, 54-0. And rounding off the top half dozen, Robin Liddell and Volt Hens for the best of the Tafel Racing Porsches in a 54-even. Looking to see if everyone got out this morning. Yes, they did. 25 cars out there. Now, track is still wet, but very little standing water now on the bit of the surface that we can see from the cameras. We'll just have a bit of a spin backwards around the track and see how much there are. We've even got the Vitesse cars out there now helping to clear off the front straight with the IMSA safety workers and the local track marshals certainly earning their spurs this weekend. Those concrete patches around the track will be absolutely treacherous out there. And again, I'm really not certain what there is to be gained by going out there, unless the track does dry and you can get onto slicks and further refine your dry weather setup. The river of water just behind our commentary position has pit in. It is still flowing, but at a much reduced rate. And you're listening to the American Le Mans Series live from Lime Rock Park, Connecticut, where in just a few moments' time, we'll get the delayed session underway. This is a pre-practice session. The grid set by this morning's practice times, which is clearly good for some people, not so good for others. Sounds like a prototype. Yes, it's an Acura. So, not sure how many laps these guys are going to do, as out goes the DHL Penske Porsche. But I think the six car is going behind us. Through goes the XM satellite radio Acura. Also going into pit lane. These cars just going into the pit lane. It's the seven car, in fact, that went by. Not going out on the track as yet. The track is not yet open. So, maybe I was wrong. Maybe these teams are going to take the opportunity to fire in a few exploratory laps. As the Vitesse cars are sitting at 15. Now you see, an Audi R8 is what you need. Quattro. 400 horsepower. Audi RS4 engine dropped into the middle of the car. Very nice indeed. Now, I wonder if we can pick up some reports from our pit lane team, Jim Martin. Bernadette is out there as well at the moment. Jim Martin, are you listening to us out there?
Yes, we are, of course.
What's the weather like? That it looks a lot brighter. It also, hard to see from here and feel from here, but just having opened the door a moment ago, looks like it's warming up pretty quickly.
Yes, I was about to say the air temperature's probably come up. Well, at least 5, and it seems like 10 degrees since the middle of our downpour. During the downpour, gosh, I wouldn't have been surprised if somebody told me it was 60 degrees. It's probably, 66, 68 is the stance right now, and becoming a little more temperate every moment that goes by. It's turning into a beautiful afternoon. Among other things, when the sun comes out, it's going to get, it'll get warm. There's no doubt about it. With the amount of rainfall we've had, it will be humid. I don't think there's any getting away from that. However, the cars are here. The drivers are getting ready, among others. Ralph Kellner is strolling around pit lane, observing the festivities. Ralph, will anyone do any laps on wet tires just to see if it can be driven in the rain, or will everybody wait for it to dry out and put dries on the car and see if it's quick?
I think probably most of the teams will wait until it's dry, if it gets dry. But I'm sure that there's going to be a couple of guys that have to do some kind of work, and they will go out as soon as it is green. We hope that it's going to get dry, and we're probably it's going to take 30 minutes into the session before you can get any dry spots. But certainly everybody still has work to do. We had a limited time here on the track so far, so everybody's anxious to get out there and do their work.
Well, which is among other reasons why you're pacing up and down pit lane to dry it up as quickly as you can. In the meantime, Ralph, thank you very much for your time. All the best this weekend. Great to see you. As far as other people, Ralph Keller is here with us. And of course, down at the other end of the pit lane, Bernadette is here. And she has within length of the microphone, I believe it's Sasha Masson.
That's right, it is. I'm here with Sasha Masson. And as they're getting ready to roll out their Porsche RS Spyder, Sasha, you've got a drive before. Now you're telling me your teammate did it, and he's going to take the first lap here today?
Yeah, exactly. I drove the whole session because I wasn't here in testing, and now it's Ryan's time. Unfortunately, he is a little bit wet, so he will do one lap and see how it is out there, and then we will decide if we continue or not.
Hey, you've recorded some excellent times so far in the last practice. How do you feel in the car?
The car is awesome, like always. Of course, here in Lime Rock, we have different things to look after. It's very bumpy. There's a lot of different tarmac and concrete patches. But the car is handling well, and I'm really looking forward to a dry race, though.
Yeah, so are we. We're definitely hoping for that as well. Well, thanks for taking the time, Sasha. Good luck to you.
And apologies for the crackling on the radio mic down there. I think the weather's got in the Bernadette's mic as well. We've got a minute to go to green flag here. We'll be spot on half past when the green flag flies, and I predict that within 20 minutes to half an hour, we will have a dry enough track for the guys to go out with either cut slicks or full slicks on here. Apparently, I'm being told that there's some standing water at turn 5 on driver's right. Let's go back to the pit lane, pick up some more interviews with our pit lane team. Jim Martin again now with Joey Hahn from the Pinos Esperante team.
The Pinos Esperante team is getting ready to roll out. As a matter of fact, Bill Oberlin behind the wheel of the 21 car now just headed up. Among other things, anything to be gained by turning some laps on web today or just track time?
No, of course. This Pinos, we don't have a lot of time with it, honestly, and we especially don't have a lot of time with it in the rain, so this will probably be one of our first runs in the rain. I think it is our first run in the rain. Just see how it feels, get a feel for it. Bill's going to turn some laps, and I'll turn some laps. But the way it's looking, it's probably going to be dry by the end of the session. So.
But on the other hand, between now and the end of the year, there's still a possibility you're going to have to run it in the rain someday, and it'll probably be a better idea to have an idea where to go.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we threw some stuff at it for the rain, like I said, first time. So we'll see what happens with it. But, you know, the big thing for us is trying to get that dry set. We're pretty sure it's going to be dry tomorrow mainly. And you know, these PTG guys have come so far. They've worked so hard over this break we've had. And, I mean, it shows. The car was quick this morning. You know, you can't thank Advan Yokohama enough for always coming with some help on the tires and PFC. The thing stops, that's for sure.
Hey, it's kind of encouraging to see, to watch somebody like yourself with your career, a pretty fair career as far as behind the wheel of the open wheel cars, the Star Mazda series, stepping into the GT2 ranks of the American Le Mans series. And, hey, the trend is good. The car looks better every day, and hey, there's going to be somebody else to be fighting for the lead as far as the GT2 ranks. We'll cross our fingers and say between now and the end of the year.
Yeah, let's hope. You know, I've had a great time all the way up through my career, and I was fortunate enough to get hooked up with Tom Milner and this PTG group because you know he's really done me right and kept me in a job and allowed me to show what I can do here and there. And we haven't had a win in a while, but this team is due for one, and it's coming. You know, we're shooting. Realistically, you know, for podiums right now, and then, you know, wins will come for us. So this team knows how to do it, and they deserve it.
Hey, Bill Oberlin's not a bad teammate, Dan.
No, he's got quite a win list at this track. So, like I told him, you just go out there and get the job done, and I'll just be the filler for this deal. I'll just drive it around and let you finish it off.
And if there's any ideas you want to pass along to me, you won't turn them away?
Yeah, exactly. No, we go pretty good here. We had a great run here last year going, and I think we finished second or third. I can't remember what we did, but both of us go good here, but Bill's always a great teammate to have because he wheels every single lap of every session and really keeps me on my toes. And, you know, if you can keep up with Bill Oberlin, you're doing something.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. And it's going to be great to watch you guys between now and the end of the season. Thank you very much. Joey Hahn from the PTG 21 Pinos Esperante.
With Jim Martin, and you're listening to the American Le Mans Series Radio Network live from Lime Rock Park. And as you can hear, we've got cars out on the circuit. Just two of them at the moment, Darren Turner and Bill Oberlin. Darren Turner controlling a wonderful sideways slide going through the bridge corner, and he's taking time out of the Pinos Esperante ahead of him. Darren getting the chance to do some extra laps. He hasn't raced this car. He raced for Aston Martin here last year. Let's go down into pit lane and find out what's going on at DHL Penske Porsche. Bernadette is down there with Timo Bernhard.
Timo Bernhard here, getting a chance too as they're rolling out the car. His teammate, Romain Dumoulin, did an excellent job. Now it's your turn to take the track. How do you feel so far?
All right, now we feel really good. I mean, it's a pity that it was raining and that they canceled the qualifying, as I heard. But on the other hand, it's a good thing for us because we put a good time in the first practice and we got the pole so far. That's a good thing for us. Right now it's just to learn about the new conditions, about the wet conditions. I think tomorrow it might be dry, but you never know, so it's good to make a setup also for the rain.
What kind of adjustments have you guys made so far for the rain and for right now for this practice?
For the rain, I think just putting the wet tires on to see how that will figure out. But because for a long-distance race, you need to have a car that is good in both conditions, but for sure it's good to have a tendency and to feel how the race tires will be.
And we're hoping for tomorrow to be a dry day. I think it will be. But also, too, with this track, I've heard some complaints, but Porsche has been doing an excellent job. How do you feel about the track?
Yeah, the track is very narrow, very small, very bumpy. And we will have a lot of traffic tomorrow, and that will decide the race. So it will be a very tough race.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Romain Dumas from the DHL Penske Porsche team. Ryan Briscoe is out there Ryan's never raced here before, so track time absolutely imperative for the young Australian and the DHL Penske Porsche team. He's through the chicane. The chicane is dry. Now, there's a dry line on the concrete of the chicane. The concrete drying out quickly. Bizarre to see steam rising from the circuit. The transitions between concrete and asphalt are clearly difficult at the moment. Darren Turner with the best time, a 105.2. And it is still wet out there. The first of the prototypes throwing up quite a bit of spray out there. The DHL Penske Porsche number 6 and Ryan Briscoe in his first flying lap on a 101.8. I really wish we'd had qualifying, because on a drying track, there's nothing better than watching people trying to get the tyres right, trying to get the setup right. Last man out gets pole. He's last one across the line gets pole. And also out there, I think is the Los, is that the Los Fernandez racing car out there? Yes. No, it's the Highcroft Racing Acura. And we thought between 10 and 20 minutes, there'd be a dry line out there. Certainly will be. And that's Stephanie Johansson, I think, that's in there. In that car. Let me just see the helmet as he comes down. No, it's David Brabham. The Australian colours of David Brabham's helmet goes across the line to start his first flying lap. And breaking into the zone at turn one. Down first of all into, if this was dry, it would be down into fourth, and then down to third for the second part of the first corner. Back up into fourth and feeding the power on, but it's very, very slippery. And of course, around that 2, 3, and 4 area, the grass has still got standing water on it. It just simply hasn't drained away. So going off there is not an option. Thank you very much. Billy McCoy and Jim Roller in the truck showing us the pictures of that, as we were mentioning it. Was very spooky when that happened. Completely dry line through the chicane. Now heading off towards turn number 7, which is just before the bridge. And then the drop down to turn number 8, the final corner, which is all tarmac and actually is probably one of the grippier parts of the circuit. And everyone taking that relatively easily. Cross the line for Brabs, and he takes the fastest lap of 101.2. Remember, that compares to this morning, his time of 45.75 seconds, or 15 seconds slower than he was this morning. So, David Brabham then, the quickest man on the circuit at the moment, in the Highcroft Acura, Duncan Dayton's team. What a partnership is being forged here this season between Acura, Highcroft Racing, and, of course, Andretti Green and Fernandez Lowe's Racing. And David Brabham and Stephanie Johansson together, absolutely fantastic. What a pairing that is. Just coming up to Darren Turner, who is the fastest GT car out there at the moment, at 102.6, 58.2, as Darren just outbrakes himself in letting Brabs through at turn one. Let's go down to Jim Martin in the pit lane, who can update us with the changing weather conditions and a bit more information.
Changing weather conditions, warming temperatures, drying tracks. Everybody's dealing with it as best they can. Lots of the current runners running on intermediates. There's no use for full width. It's really not that bad any place around the race circuit. However, as far as tires, the most interesting note I've come across lately is the fact that because they're using this morning's practice times for the qualifying times, in effect, to set the grid for tomorrow's race, because they didn't mark any of those tires, obviously, the choice of tires for tomorrow to start the race is open. They can drive a brand new set of tires, or the ones they scrubbed in during practice. It's entirely up to the team. As far as the teams, which have yet to make an appearance out here, a lot of the teams are basically saying, well, as soon as it dries off a little bit, we'll let some other teams that really want the track time desperately to use up the track time. They won't have to worry about us being in the way, but they'll be out drying the track for us when it gets dry. The racing competition Ferraris, for example, the competition Ferraris will be able to join us when it's a little less wet. So they will come out to join us, but it's going to be a few minutes more.
That's a good point that Jim reminds us of. There was no tyres marked in that practice session this morning. So there's no way, even if IMSA wanted the teams to start on the tyres that effectively they, in inverted commas, qualified on or set their time on, we couldn't do it. So it will be a free choice this tyres, and I'll guarantee you that every single car on that grid will have a brand new sticker set of tyres bolted on the grid. We'll probably go out with a set of old tyres. Roger, Oscar Lavender of Montgomery, Alabama says, welcome back to this side of the pond. Hope you had a good rest from Le Mans. All geared up for the remaining rest of the ALMS. Thank you. I am. And our thanks to everyone who's emailing in. Studio@radiolemon.com. Studio@radiolemon.com. Hello to Tim Grace, listening at Silverstone for the British Grand Prix, apparently some spec series, think racing there at the moment. Very expensive spec series, following each other round. However, we have real motorsport here at Lime Rock Park. Yeah. Another year that I won't be getting the F1 commentary job. Thank goodness. Brab still quickest, 55.3. These times are just tumbling as we're about 11 minutes into this session, and there'll be a dry line in less than 5 minutes' time. It'll be interesting to see if the concrete dries faster than the surrounding tarmac. It certainly has done the new concrete up at the chicane. Now, Wolf Hendler's just looped the 71, but that's a bit unfair on Wolf. He's actually, what he's done is he's missed his breaking point of turn one and gone off onto the escape road, which almost to me looks like there used to be a longer circuit here that's been lost in antiquity. And not the case, of course. 50 years of speed here at Lime Rock Park in the most glorious settings. About an hour's drive up from our hotel this morning, and about half of that, just over half of that, is on country roads rather than freeways. As Ryan Briscoe puts the DHL Penske Porsche to the top of the timesheet for the first time. 53.5. That'll be down into the 40s before the end of this session. And the DHL Penske Porsche just looking so well hooked up. So much mechanical grip on the back of that car. It's scary. So out at the moment, we have the DHL Penske Porsche number 6, which leads by a second and a half to David Brabham in second position. And the number 9, Highcroft Racing Acura. Also just out is the 26 XM Satellite Radio Andretti Green Acura with Brian Herter at the wheel. But in third place at the moment, Darren Turner in the Peterson White Lightning Ferrari. Ben Devlin in fourth place for the BK Motorsport Mazda Speed entry. In fact, he's just gone up in the third with a 101, which is his second flying lap. Bill Oberlin and Wolf Hensler in the Panos and Tafel Racing Porsche, respectively. And there's much less spray coming from the backs of the prototypes, and they're generating a huge amount of downforce. It's going to be some fantastic pictures. The light now is just great. It's bright sunlight with dark clouds and hanging over the surrounding hillside. There'll be some really, really good photos taken this afternoon. Ryan Briscoe, 52.9. Before we're 20 minutes into this, we're not even quarter of an hour into the session yet, and we're almost down back into the 40s. So we're barely 6 seconds off the pace this morning. 7 seconds at the moment. And now that the sun has come out, there is clearly a dry line round a good three quarters of the circuit. And it's now, well, two laps. There's barely any spray being thrown up by the back tyres. Everyone improving their time. Brabs gets down to a 54. Brian Herter straight away a 58. Ryan Briscoe 52.8 crossing the line. And there'll be a, well, you'll have to be on slicks here before 20 minutes because you'll be ripping wet tyres to shreds now. Already, I'm presuming they actually only went out on intermediates rather than full slicks. And right now, if this was a race, you'd be telling your driver to pit and put the slicks on. Let's go down to Jim Martin, who's down in the pit lane. What you got for us, Jim?
Actually, come into the pits and change tires is exactly what's happening with a whole bunch of the teams. There were some teams that went out with full wets, and there are teams out that have come in with the wets. And it, if nothing else, take a look at the White Lightning team, for example. The Michelin engineers going around each corner of the vehicle with the temperature gauges, measuring just how warm the full wets are from one side to the other, and determining whether or not they're going to go to intermediates or whether or not they're going to rinse something drier right now. I don't think that's going to happen. They brought the car up. They measured all the tire temperatures. They put the car back down. They're thinking about it, and they're changing drivers from the look of things. Now they are literally having a small debate over on the left-hand side of the car as to what tire choice to make. Lots of other cars doing likewise. The Los Fernandez, the Acura-powered Lola being just dropped down momentarily, and I have a feeling we'll see the number 15 car on the racetrack.
Right, I've heard this interview as well, and exactly. I've just seeing the number one Audi come into the number two Audi rather coming into the collecting area, being towed by a little tire truck, and the tires on the back of the tire truck are full slick, and this now is, you know, we're 16 minutes into session, full slick conditions now, and such a shame we're not going to have a qualifying session with the drying track. Do need to speak to one of the IMSA officials for the official word on why the decision was taken so early, why we couldn't have had a truncated practice session and then run into qualifying. I'm sure there was a good reason for it, we just haven't heard it yet. And we'll try and get that word for you. And our thanks to the Media Centre for the timely information that was coming from there when we were waiting for the official word. So Ryan Briscoe with a 52.8 leads by a second and a half from David Brabham. Remember, the times will be set on practice times for this morning as in Peel's Ben Devlin in the Master Speed BK Motorsports Lola. The bulk of the field now trundling past. It's a very good vantage point where we are, because the entrance to pit lane, the cars have to come round the back of the broadcast booth. Both Flying Lizards going out now into the pit lane, and they've got slicks on. Wolf Hensler now the fastest GT2 car with a minute dead. Interesting how close, how these intermediate conditions do close the cars up, as out goes the number one Audi. With Dindo Capello at the wheel. Yes, Dindo's at the wheel of that. Darren Turner is out there. The 54 Transport Porsche is out there as well. The 54 car, Terry Borchella. Terry will be loving this. Now, Ryan Briscoe's got the fastest time, 52.8. He doesn't have any experience of racing around here, so it was important for him to get out there. Let's go down and find out what he thought of those opening 15 minutes in damp conditions. Here's Bernadette down at the DHL Penske Porsche pit.
All right, Ryan, with those bad conditions, how did the track feel for you, and this being your first time out there?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was really my first ever time in wet conditions in this car. So we've never had wet conditions this year, and need to get out, get a feel for it, and really with qualifying cancelled, I needed to do a timed lap to be able to start the race in our position tomorrow. So.
And you pulled in a great time. You pulled in the fastest time. So how do you feel on the track as a whole?
Oh, it was good. I mean, the car was good, but when the conditions are so slippery, I mean, it was just a matter of getting out and getting a feel for the car and not risking it. But it felt really good. The car was comfortable enough where I could actually attack the corners, a little bit and have some fun. So anyway, we're hoping it dries out because we'd much rather race in the dry here.
Absolutely. So we would rather report out here in the dry as well. Do you think you'll be getting back in the car today for another lap?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, from what I understand, qualifying has been set, which is a bit disappointing for us because we know we're better than fifth, and Sasha just didn't get a clear lap this morning, and track position is really important, so we're definitely going to have a lot of work to do tomorrow, but looks like we're going to give Sasha a few laps now and just play it by ear.
Right. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks.
All right, not too happy with that fifth position, but Ryan Briscoe, first time out on the track, and he did a great job holding a very fast time.
Yeah, good job, 52.8. 10 cars have been out of those. Dindo Capello didn't do a flying lap, went straight back in. Now, engine gremlin this morning, we're hearing, for the 26 XM Acura racing car. Very important that they got out to see if things were running more smoothly. Some exhaust changes to the three Acuras, mandated by IMSA to reduce the sound level. The Acura guys have been spending time working on reducing the sound level without losing performance, and they think they have now kind of compromised. Apparently, they are 10 to 12 decibels quieter than before. That's a huge amount, because decibels is a logarithmic scale rather than a linear scale. So that is a huge amount of sound to lose, and they're saying that they haven't lost any power. We have something like out of a Steven Spielberg movie on the front straight at the moment. It's bright sunshine. It's fantastic light and fog or steam rising from the track. And a completely dry track at 20 minutes, as we predicted. And down into the pit lane, Jim Martin will say.
And dry tires. The first set of dry tires, I saw one set bolted on the 73 car. The 71 car has them as well. Topo Racing is going with dry tires. So perhaps the first of many, I have a feeling, if the conditions continue to evolve the way they have this afternoon, and constant evolution seems to be what it's all about today. Dry tires is going to be the way of the world within the next 5 minutes for all of the teams. If they're running on wet now, within moments, they'll all be in for drives.
Well, just having a look at the weather coming in and where the weather's been coming from, which is over towards the back of turn 7 and 8, is blue skies, slight fluffy clouds. Slightly further round, there is a little bit more darker weather, but I think that's passing us by. And we've got in prospect a very interesting next 40-50 minutes, as Ryan Briscoe's time of 52.8 stands. Adrian Fernandez, 52.895, just 0.091 of a second between those two cars. Very quiet out there at the moment. Obviously, the cars all bunching up and nothing coming past us here on the front straight. Through the chicane, and Fernandez has just dealt with the transport Porsche of Terry Borchella, now heading through Breach and down towards the final corner. Fantastic how those prototypes just turn in almost effortlessly flat round there. Behind him, Stefan Johansson now at the wheel of the number 9 Highcroft Racing Acura, and able to pick his line through the final corner, despite the fact he had two GT cars in front of him. So clearly conditions improving rapidly here. McNish and Capello's car hasn't come back out again yet. We'll keep an eye out for that. Totally dry up, no name, straight to the uphill section and into the chicane. And Stefan Johansson then looks to be on a mission this lap. Got a pretty good exit from the final corner despite that traffic. Now he's got the 71 Tafel car, 73 Dominic Farnbacher car in exactly the same place he caught traffic last time. He pulls over to the right and a huge plume of spray is fired out of the back of the car as he goes onto the wetter part of the circuit. Improves his time though, 53.9, and that would have been a very much better time had he not had to check up in the final corner for Farnbacher on one of his opening laps. 12 cars we've seen now, although again the number one Audi has only been out for an out and straight back in. No flying lap by that Audi R10 TDI. Bill Oberlin now has the fastest time in GT2, a minute 0.1. Just 0.071 of a second ahead of Darren Turner. Terry Borchella just 0.024 further back. This would have been a great qualifying session. Now, here's Johansson coming through for a traffic-free lap. He stays well clear of the white-painted curves. He's looking for the damp patches. I think he might still be on wet rubber as he goes across the line and takes top spot by a tenth of a second. 52.7 seconds for Johansson, running on certainly probably inters. He's looking for water as he goes across the line. Now, we haven't seen anything of the GM Chevy Corvette. Tell us why, Bernadette.
Well, I just spoke to Gary Pratt of Corvette Racing, and they said if they do come out, it'll only be for the last 15 minutes. Everybody's kind of waiting for things to dry up here, but supposedly another storm coming in. Rizzi Competizione, too, is not out, and spoke with Mika Salo just a second ago, and he doesn't think that he'll see him or his teammates out here today for practice. So missing in action, Corvette Racing, also Rizzi Competizione. So another storm coming in. We'll see. So far, it's nice and sunny out here.
Yeah, beautiful weather. As in Stefan Johansson comes, I'm sure it pulled on some full racing slicks. Beautiful weather heading towards us at the moment with clear skies. In also to the pit lane has come the 37. That's the creation Jude of Intersport Racing. You're listening to the American Le Mans Series live from Lime Rock Park. I'm John Hindhoff, joined this weekend by Jim Martin, one of our old colleagues, getting out of the in the sport car, by the way, and some new blood to the American Le Mans Series pit lane, with Bernadette Tanakolet joining us from near the trek across from LA to be with us this weekend, and our thanks to her. Hope she enjoys her first experience of the American Le Mans Series. Still 12 cars only on the timing and scoring screen. I think that's about to change. As the bulk of the GT2 field's been out now. We've had six of them. And Ralph Kellenis in the Letterman Racing, Real Hall Letterman Racing Porsche, has just done a 56.6. Tremendous stuff. These are almost dry weather tyres now. That car this morning, the 18 car, ran a 53.9, so almost a 54, so 2 seconds away from a dry weather time now out here on a track which is drying quickly, and clearly more grip to be found all the time. Now he's got right in his wheel tracks Dominic Farnbacher. Those two are dragging each other around the circuit. It's a free practice session, and we've got a bit of a race that's broken out through turn 7 on the concrete. Plenty of grip there now. That concrete stride really quickly, plunging downhill to the final right-hand corner. Farnbacher, oh, just losing the front of the Porsche in the middle of the corner there, the Dapple Racing car. Just on one of the many bumps across the line. 57.2 for Kellenis. 58.1 for Farnbacher. Look like that much difference, to be honest. Phil Oberlin now down in fourth position. So it's Porsche, Panos in GT2 at the moment. 18.73.21. First of the Ferraris, by the way, is in fourth position in the hands of Darren Turner in that Peterson White Lightning car. We'll keep an eye on the team. Stefan Johansson still at 52.7.
After practice, we talk about it.
With 52.7 with 28 minutes of this 1 hour and 10 minute free practice session gone. Let's go down into the pit lane where Jim Martin can speak to Dick Martin to give us the definitive word on what's happening regarding practice, grid and tyres.
Thank you, John. I'm down here at the other end of pit lane with my cousin. Dick Martin's here, and among other things, Dick has the ear of race control as much as anybody else on the planet, I think. Dick, can you give us the official explanation as to why we don't have qualifying today? Because, John and a few other people have been asking, how come? Because, well, in 2020 hindsight, 15 minutes ago, it might look like an iffy question, but right now it would have looked like it would have been fun.
Well, you never know.
That's it.
That's the racing. When you get into racing, you're never sure exactly what's going to happen. The decision was made during the rain to use this morning's time. The only problem we had was there were 8 drivers that didn't drive this morning. So those guys are out right now, and we'll be out driving. We'll set by the times we had this morning. You know, if we all knew, I mean, we're all Monday morning quarterbacks. We all have great things. We did what we thought was right at the time, and for the safety of everybody concerned, and that's really what we're about, is making sure we're safe. We scrubbed the actual qualifying, use this morning times, and as this is a wet, open session.
Now, correct me if I misquoted something here. What you just mentioned a moment ago about the drivers that hadn't turned a lap earlier today, do all the drivers have to do a lap of practice or two or three before they're allowed in?
There's no real time.
I see.
Yeah, there's no real time or no distance involved. The situation is such that we want to make sure everybody's familiar with the track. We know most of the drivers out here. These are professionals. These guys are great. We know that. We just want to make sure that everybody's out here. It's cleaned up, dried up much quicker than we expected. Of course, you know the old deal. If you don't like the weather, wait 15 minutes, it'll change. And that's exactly what happens. Who knows when you start this stuff?
Actually, we just heard word a few minutes ago. There's a couple teams have said they've looked at the radar weather, and they said there's something headed our way, so we're not going to bring the cars out. So it works both ways, whether you want to take a chance on it or whether you want to sit tight. But either way, the weather is changeable today, and unfortunately, it was changeable enough that it's scrub practice or scrub qualifying.
We had to do what we had to do at that time, and I think the correct decision was made.
John, thank you very much. Thank you. Dick Martin, the pit lane, the chief of pit lane officials, the crew chief for IMSA down here on pit lane at Lime Rock.
Let's go down to the pit lane where one of the teams that we were wondering if they were going to come out, we've got some news on. Competizione. Ricci Competizione. Bernadette, what can you tell us?
I just spoke to one of the crew managers, and it turns out that the 61 Ferrari Ricci Competizione will be coming out to the track for practice. Spoke with Mika Salo, who said that the 62 car probably wasn't. It still looks like the 62 car is not going to come out, but one of the Ferrari cars of Nick Johnson and Eric Hellerly is just coming out to practice.
Thanks very much. Joined in the booth here at the Marie Le Mans Series by Liz Halliday, who's on TV duty again this weekend for CBS Sports Spectacular. 1 o'clock Eastern Time on Sunday is when you'll be able to see the race from Lime Rock Park. Dry enough now for slicks, Liz? If you were out there, you'd be shouting for slicks, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I mean, I've just cruised back over this way a little while ago, so I haven't seen the circuit. But based on the times, I mean, it is drying off really fast. And looking at it on the screen, I mean, they can't be far off. But, you know, the problem with Lime Rock as well is that you've got this mixed pavement. So that's what makes it so tricky here. And, you know, I think that's going to be a big factor. But it still looks in the shaded areas. It still looks pretty wet, so I don't know.
Got to love to be in a prototype in these conditions or with all that downforce around here. Is that fun? You had a wet Le Mans, so...
I did, yeah, and actually our car at Le Mans was really awesome in the wet, I have to say. I was pleasantly surprised. But, yeah, I suppose it depends on your setup and what tires you have on, whether you have a nice time in a prototype or not when it's slippery.
Well, we've now got the Porsche aerial cam up from the helicopter. The weather's cleared up enough for that, and you can clearly see the darker areas on the circuit, but there's an awful lot of light grey on the track at the moment, and for the time being, at least, with just on half an hour gone of this 1 hour and 10 minute session. And there's free practice, dubbed a free wet practice, although it's nearly dry now. Then we have got a picture perfect day here at Lime Rock Park. After 20 minutes, as we thought, there was a dry line there. And Alan McNish has just jumped aboard the number one Audi. That car's been in the pits for a long time. And it was, I think it was Dindo who took it out for its exploratory lap, so they've switched drivers while that car's been sitting. Oh, that sounded like a Corvette. Yeah, rumble, 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 that's a Corvette. And there's a man back in the UK called Dave who would be delighted to hear that. Dave Painter, back out on the circuit now. McNish is already through the back chicane. He is the slowest of the 13 cars out there at the moment. And he's gone out for an exploratory lap, and he's telling his pit lane, dry tyres, box, that means he's coming into the pit lane, and this, they'll do this as a racing change, won't they, Liz, because how do you like that?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, when you have only one day of practice and qualifying like they've had today, then you need to make the most of all the time you have, so I would have thought they'll definitely utilise that and do a proper change, and, you know, they always focus on that, don't they? Audi's always switched on.
Mark Laverne's coming into the pits just ahead of McNish, so both of the Audi Sport North America teams are going to be working together. In fact, McNish got in first. My apologies. Truth in Engineering, the new slogan for Audi Sport North America. Not a huge amount of room in the the pit lane here, is there, if everybody's in together?
No, it's a very tight pit lane. I mean, the whole circuit's quite tight. I mean, it's narrow, and it's an old circuit, though, isn't it? So they've not done many changes, which I think is kind of cool, actually. It keeps it nice and historic. But, yeah, it is a bit of a squeeze if you have a lot of cars in there.
There's new Armshaw around a good percentage of the circuit. We're told by the owners and organisers that by this time next year, when the LMS returns in 08, that the whole track will have been repaved. To add to the improvements that have been made over the last 2 or 3 years to the paddock area, because when I remember first coming here the second year of the American Mod Series, there was no part of it, the bottom end of the paddock was all still grass.
Oh my gosh. So it would not be a good day today, would it?
Well, and funny enough,
need
that
wellies.
Was the second year that we were here, it was a bit splish splash down there. Now, out and pushing very hard indeed, Bill Oberlin, the 21 GT2 Esperande Pernos, fifth position for them at the moment. Remember, these times count for absolutely nothing, I'm afraid, because the grid will be set by the practice times this morning. It was set this morning, that decision made in the midst of a torrential thunder and lightning storm all around the circuit, to be honest. Let's go down into the pit lane. Jim Martin is down with Acura.
The Highcroft Acura, as a matter of fact, and standing beside me, David Brubham. And David, your thoughts on the changing track? Is it getting better? Or well, obviously it's getting drier, but is it any better than it was this morning?
Well, that's a very good question. So we go back out there, but certainly when it rains here, the track becomes greener and a little bit more slippery. So we're going to have to try and put some rubber on there for tomorrow for the race. But it'll get better and better as the race goes on if it's dry. But actually in the wet out there, the car was very nice, very comfortable, didn't really push 110%, just got a feel for it, and we're starting third on the grid, which is probably fair for where we were this morning, and it should be a really good race.
Should be a really good race in the dry, and from the sound of it, if there is a place where you get to run in the wet, this won't be a bad car to have.
No, I mean, the car's always shown to be quite good in the wet, and so we're very fortunate that if it's dry or wet, we're in reasonable shape. We don't have any real disasters, so, we're pretty confident that we're going to have a strong race. It's a home race for Highcroft, obviously just based up in Danbury up the road, and it'd be nice to end the weekend on a high.
Oh, very much so, and Highcroft's come a long way to, kind of being on the sidelines, being a part of motor racing for years and years, but on the other hand, stepping up to full-time, and it looks like things are going very, very well.
If you look at it, a year ago, this team stepped up massively. Yeah, Duncan Dayton's done an awesome job getting really good people together very quickly, which is not easy to do. We've got a great bunch of guys here. We've been running competitively all year. We've got another half a season to go. So, I think the way it's going, I'm very happy. They've done a great job.
Wonderful stuff. It's great to talk to you again, and great to see you behind the wheel of a quick automobile because, it's where you seem to be happiest.
Thank you.
Take care, David. Thank you.
Now, let's stay in the pit lane as Alan McNish has just done a 49.8 on his second flying lap on his new tyres as off has gone the Flying Lizard. Now, that was heading on the uphill section, and... Now, that was the 45 car with Johannes van Overbeck at the wheel. Just got off onto what dirt there is on driver's left, and we think probably a left rear puncture at least. He's coming out through the chicane. And as he went through... How did he manage to get...
He got clipped, I think. Didn't he?
Or maybe
not.
He was that close. It looked like he knocked something up under braking there.
Maybe. Oh, here we go. No, I think he touched him. Not purposely, but I think he touched him, possibly.
Very. If there was a touch, it was the minutest of clip.
Very.
Let's see what they're saying.
Definitely a bit of damage. Though.
The left-hand side of that car. That was heading on the uphill section just towards the chicane on the back of the circuit. They've been told to go straight to the garage, Johannes van Overbeck. Right, whilst that happens, let's go back down in the pit lane. Giuseppe Ricci with Bernadette.
All right. Thanks, guys. I'm with Giuseppe Ricci, the man behind these two Ricci Concessioni Ferraris. Are we only going to see this number 61 Ferrari practice today?
Could you say one more time? There's a little bit of noise in the background.
Are we only going to see the 61 car out at practice today?
No, I think we're going to take the 62 out as well. Quite honestly, if the track hadn't dried enough, it really would have been... just an exercise, take the cars out, but it looks like the track is dried enough now where we will probably put the 62 out as well.
a lot of people are disappointed about the cancellation of qualifying. How do you feel about that?
Yes, very much so. But unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about the weather. And, you know, it's in the interest of safety as well. If we did have a qualifying and the weather was wet, everybody here would be trying their best and we'd have less cars to race with tomorrow.
All right, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Now, John Field has just put the Creation Intersport Creation car into the barriers, coming out of the chicane on the top side of the circuit, Lewis, and really just getting on the pad. Did he get a little helping hand? No, he was on his own there, wasn't he?
Yeah, it looks to me like it was just a cold tires issue, because they literally have just gone out, as far as I know, and I know that car is a bit loose behind anyway, so, you know, coming out of that chicane, you are quite slow, and in a big accelerating car like this, it just looks like maybe a bit of lock on the wheel, a bit too much acceleration, off he went, which is a shame, really, and the grass is what helped him into the barrier. I think he's so wet still.
Yeah, still very wet.
He may have gotten away with that if it'd been dry, but the grass, I'm sure, just accelerated him more and straight into the barrier,
well,
which is a real shame.
There's a slippery surface flag on the exit of the chicane for one of the markers. It's the left front fender that has been torn off that car. I don't think he's done it too much of a favour riding over the curve to get back on the track there, to be quite honest. He's shedding bits of bodywork there. Now, this is a relatively new car to that team. And he was out on slick Kumho tyres. That is going to be a bit of work, I'm afraid, for
John
the Intersport guys tonight.
John will not be happy about that.
Well, front splitter damage, front left fender, he's already got the body language there, waving arms about, the top of the rear suit already peeled down to his waist, Wendy Sun standing next to him in his civvies, and John with barely a look back has hopped over the wall. He's not a happy bunny. And that, I'm afraid, is going to be that for this session. And losing time for any of these cars and drivers on such a short weekend as this, Liz, is not the best at all, is it?
Well, this means that Clint Field hasn't even driven the car here yet this weekend. So because
he drove it around from the garage to,
right,
to the pit lane.
You're right. But that's about it, isn't
that's
it? I mean, I think John then got in, didn't he? Or something. I mean, maybe he's done a lap, but he's not had a proper chance, you know, in the dry yet. So, I mean, Clint knows this track, so he should be all right. Luckily, it's nice and short, so you remember it really fast.
Audi's 1 and 2 now, with Marco Werner being the second of three cars inside 50 seconds. The third being that of Ben Devlin. Well done, Ben. In the BK Motorsports Mazda Speed, Lola.
Now, these guys told me today that they've got another set of new compounds for their Kumho tires, and that they've made a huge, huge difference. So they were doing, I think, a high 45 on the Tuesday practice, which is very impressive. And that's what they again have here today. So when I spoke with Ben earlier, he was really excited about it, said the car is going better than it ever has before. So I'd love to see them have something good happen this weekend.
And Ben, I've never seen him look fitter. He was out running around the track yesterday when we were having a look there. I bumped into him at the Clyde Hills Pit Crew Challenge at lunchtime, and bumping into him was like bumping into a small wardrobe. He's just solid. He's absolutely solid, taking his racing here very seriously. He's living over here in the States now, and loving every minute of it. And really, that car, we've said this before, Liz, haven't we? Liz Halliday, who's joining us in the booth here. That car is still very much a work in progress, that BK Motorsports Mazda Speed car.
I think it is, and it seems like virtually every weekend that they're having more and more work from Kumho tires as well, and I know they've had a lot of new compounds, but it seems like that's been the biggest improvement for this car has actually been the compound differences, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
What do you mean when you say that to the uninitiated? We hear drivers constantly talking about compound and construction of tires, and you know, is that just page number 124 of the driver's handbook of excuses? No, we needed a different compound, and we had run out of D57s or whatever they are. And, you know, and therefore we're 2 seconds too slow today. How much difference does it really do? And can you really feel it?
Yeah, you absolutely can. I mean, most teams have sort of a hard compound, a soft, and a medium, which is just what it is. Is what you hear is what you get, basically. But I think they can actually change the type of compound that you have per soft, medium, and hard. So, you know, like here, I know a lot of teams are using a soft compound, which actually surprises me, but it's probably because of the non-abrasiveness of the concrete you get and the mixture of the surfaces. But, yeah, and I think that's what Kumo's been working on, lots of different types of compounds. Anyway, instead of just saying, well, you've got the soft, you got the hard, you got the medium, they've tried to work with this car and make it quicker all the time.
So what you're looking for, what you're looking to achieve there then is a palette, if you like, of construction and compounds of tyres, where you'll pick maybe three of those compounds and some wet tyres to go to each race. But your soft, medium and hard here might be three completely different compounds from, say, somewhere like Road Atlanta, where hard tyre might be much harder.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what you got to look at is the abrasiveness of the circuit, how many corners there are, and also the heat. So a lot of that will come down to play. And, you know, say if tomorrow it was 100 degrees out, then they'd have to rethink that, and probably a soft tire would blister here. So that's a different issue for every circuit, really. And most teams will bring as many compounds as they can, really, but that's a lot of times decided by the tire company because they know what they're coming into. So they help make that decision as well, usually.
For the merest hint of time, Alan McNish was knocked off the top of the timing and scoring monitor by his teammate, Magic Marco Werner. But he's just replied to the 48.048 with a 47.4. 49.7 for Andy Wallace now takes fastest time in the P2 category, the number 16 at the Dyson Racing Porsche, with Ben Devlin on a 49.92. Those four cars still the only quartet under 50 seconds, and I just held my breath there for a moment as David Brabham went through. He's done a 50.015. Oh, McNish gone through another quick lap, 47.0. He's going to be down to his time from this morning very, very quickly. In fact, he did a 46.4, so he's actually looking to be on that sort of pace, if not quicker. And that will be a source of some relief, I think, down in the Audi Sport North America pit. Edwin Fernandez now drops into fourth place with a 49.1. Five cars now under that magic 50 seconds. Still no sign of the Corvettes. We've had 19 of 25 cars. There'll be no time recorded by the 37, which was on its outlap when it was binned by John Field. The 71 car, Robin Liddell, that's the Tafel Racing Porsche, is the fastest of the GT2 cars ahead of Terry Borchella in the Transport Porsche, the 54 car. Johannes van Overbeck for Lizards. Remember that car with some severe damage. Oh, and the Audi lose the big time with Alan McNish. Marvellous save in the second part of turn number one. The car, well, there is still a little bit of
you can see that's still
water.
Probably the dampest part of the circuit. You can see the colour and the concrete difference. So.
And asking for, you know, there's a professional. He goes
very
through that, he saves the car, and the first thing he does is he's heading up the back straight, up No Name Straight, radios in for a camber change on the front of the car.
Very impressive, yeah. He knows what's going on here.
So he turns in, what's happened here? He's on the bumps, he's turned into turn one.
I think he was braking as well, possibly.
And he's hit a puddle.
Yeah, and he's hit some.
Hit a puddle?
No,
there was that a lock-up or was it smoke off the rear tyre?
Well, it's definitely a little bit damp there still, you can see. So it may have been a combination of everything above. You may have caught a bit of damp with one tyre and then had a bit of a lock-up, so it all sort of added to it.
Yeah, he's going to get a car as well.
Into the pit lane then comes our fastest car of the circuit, the 47.025, Alan McNish. Going to be a slight suspension geometry change on the front end as Ryan Briscoe goes into second place now. 47.2. for DHL Penske Porsche ahead of David Brabham, 47.6 for Highcraft Acura. And in fourth place, Adrian Fernandez for Lowe's Racing Acura. Let's have another look at this, Alan McNish. Watch the right rear wheel. Does he go through a puddle? Oh, I think it might have been, you know, and just gets a bit of wet on that tyre. Loses the back end.
I can't tell. It's just a funny angle we're on. Unfortunately, you can't see that whole tyre. So.
McNish is getting out of the car, which means Dindo Capello will be getting in.
Either way, he knows what he wants done. So he obviously knows exactly what's happened there, whether we do or not.
I was listening to him talking on the radio there, and he was very precise about what he wanted done to that car. Nice photo opportunity for you if you're on the far side of the circuit. The two Tafel Racing Porsches running together, with Robin Liddell now relegated to second position by Darren Turner, the GT1 Le Mans winner for Aston Martin. On his second of two outings this season for PWL and the Ferrari. 54.5 for that car. That's getting down towards impressive times as well. And we've got both of the DHL Penske Porsches out there. Darren goes through and does a 54.4. Cruising time again. As Timo Bernhard takes fastest time in the 7 car. He's already coming through to complete his next lap. Well, that's interesting because he's still flashing three lights on the side of that car. after our time and scoring screen that shows him in P1 overall, as well as P1 in prototype 2. So it's the two DHL Penske Porsches as the track is drying out, who are down to 46.009 and 46.015.006 of a second between them. Ryan Briscoe stays out, Timo Bernhardt in the pit lane. Sundown GT2 for you, tremendously tight as ever. Turner then with the 54.4 leads by just about 0.2 of a second to Robin Liddell. Robin's got 2.5 tenths or thereabouts, a little bit more to Terry Porcher. He's got 2.5 tenths back to Darren Law. 31.71, 54. Nick Johnson in the 61 Ricci car just popping up in the fourth position in class ahead of the first of the Lizards, which is now the 44 car. Remember the 45 car behind the wall, holding on to sixth place at the minute for Johannes van Overbeck, but as the track dries and the times tumble, that will change. 45.7 by Ryan Briscoe. Fastest time for Ryan. Never raced here. Looking forward to the challenge. And that is quicker than this morning, as Declan reminds me, over my right shoulder. So, what a qualifying session we could have had. What a shame that the rain has spoiled it. David Brabham speeding up as well. Right, that's number six car's fastest lap of the week this morning. He was down, remember, in fifth position. Ryan Briscoe saying to us earlier on that he thought that car had a better time in it. And they're only a second away from the full dry times that were put in this morning. Joey Hand just out in the 21 Panos. So still 19 cars, no Corvette. That'll be 2021. 37 car, 22. So we're still a couple short. Second of the Ricci cars, 62. Probably not going out till right at the end, as we heard Giuseppe Ricci earlier on. As Jim Martin tells us in the pit lane, there's about to be a bit of yellow on the circuit, is there, Jim?
Yes, there'll be a little velocity yellow on the circuit momentarily, no matter where you are. The number four car, Olivier Brunner, just left. And the three car, didn't catch a helmet in the three car, but the three car is out as well. So the Corvettes have come out to join us. The race weekend is complete. There is Corvette yellow on the racetrack.
There'll be an awful lot of Corvette Corral owners. A huge number of vets were out earlier on this morning when we arrived at the track at about 9 o'clock. It looked absolutely fantastic sighting them doing about 4 or 5 laps around the track. Let's go down to Audi Sport North America. Alan McNish, when he brought the car into Dindo Capello, was the fastest man on the track with a 47.0. Already 45.7 is the time to beat, and there's rain falling on the far side of the circuit. So let's have a quick word with Alan McNish before the rain reaches us here. Bernadette is down in the Audi pit.
Right, Alan, that has to be a sense of relief for you, this practice as opposed to the last.
Not really, to be honest. You know, at the moment, I would say we're in exactly the same position as we were in the last, in terms of the car, in terms of the performance, everything else. So, you know, in that respect, it just stayed as form on anything else.
Are you disappointed over the qualifying being cancelled with the weather being able to have a decent qualifying right now?
I don't honestly think if we had ran this session in complete dry and done qualifying, we'd be any further up the grid. You know, this is where we are. And all we do now is try and understand what maybe can make the car nicer for the race. But I think in position on the grid, it would have changed anything whatsoever.
I think Audi's going to be able to make the adjustments that they usually do to be able to take over this race or get at least in the top seat.
I would say it's probably unlikely we'll finish on the podium at all.
All right, thanks, Alan. Sure. Not very good with the performance of the Audi.
No, and a little bit of a break up on Bernadette's bike there. Apologies for that. McNish has been a bit of a curmudgeon this weekend, Liz, isn't he?
Well, you know, can you actually blame him? He had such an awesome race here last year in the R8, if everyone recalls. And, you know, it was the last race that car ever did. He went out with a bang, you know, won the race. And to be fair, I know they've struggled a bit this year, and it must be very frustrating for, you know, a winning team like Audi to be, you know, trudging along behind the LMP2 cars, especially after the restrictor change that they've had for this race. I think there was hope that it would even up, but, you know, Lime Rock Park is not the place to find out if that's going to even things up. You need a bit more open space. So I'm sure by the next race we're going to see a bit of a difference.
Just starting to rain now in the W grid area in front of our booth here. It's raining quite heavily and persistently on the far side of the circuit, down towards the chicane, and that's going to bring, I would have thought, everybody back in again. So it looks like Ryan Briscoe's 45.7 may stand. McNish still a second and a half away from the fastest of the Porsches. They've pulled him in by a few tenths. David Brabham in fourth place for Highcroft. Fifth, Luis Diaz. That's an improvement for that car. 47.9. Still 2 seconds away from the Porsches, and Acura won't be happy with that. Of course, Porsche's using the ethanol mixed fuel for the first time this weekend. The rest of GT and the P field have been using it all weekend. And straight on has gone the 54 car. Terry Borchella was in that car. That was a big lock-up. But if Tim Pappas is in a big left front lock-up, and he will certainly have flat spotted that left front tyre.
You think? There was a lot of water.
You think that was water rather than tyre?
I think he went. He just certainly went through a lot of water, so he may have cooled him off in time.
Big sideways slide. Driving slicks in anything approaching wet is not a lot of fun, is it?
No, I don't like it at all. I'm not even going to pretend and be hardcore and say, yeah, it's all right. I hate it.
It's akin to driving on ice.
Yeah, but it's similar.
If you've got good tyres on an ice, you probably get more grip than you have when you've got slicks on wet.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I think it's good for you to do it if you're not in an expensive race car. By all means, hop in a go-kart and drive around in slicks in the wet. Awesome. Yeah, really good, but not in something like this. I started to see dollar signs coming up when you drive around in these conditions.
At least in a kart, you can use your body weight to put the car, and I have plenty of that. To put the car sideways, sort of slipping your backside across the seat and kicking it sideways, coming up to a corner and scrubbing speed off. It's just so much fun when you're going so slowly. Half a million dollar race car.
Yeah.
You can't really do that, can you?
The money becomes a bit more real to you, I think, when you're driving around half sideways in a car like that.
Thomas Enger this morning said, it's great, it's like a rally car. I love it. And then Darren Turner went straight out in the 31 Ferrari and just got it sideways everywhere. He was outstanding. He was just holding it
hard,
in big,
it?
Big sideways slide. Big up to DT.
Oh, DT's been hammering around the old BTCC this year, hasn't he? So he's all fired up for a bit of sideways action.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be alongside him going into a corner. He's going to knock you rearview mirror off as sure as look at you from doing the rent-a-car racing in the BTCC this year. In fact, he just brought that car into the pit lane. He is the fastest of the GT2 runners. Darren Turner with a 54.4, just a couple of tenths ahead of Robin Liddell in the 71 Tafel Racing Porsche. Dennis Joey Hans making it three manufacturers in the top three, with Ferrari, Porsche and Panos separated by under 0.3 of a second there. That is great stuff in the GT2 field. Still Ryan Briscoe and Timo Bernhardt separated by 0.3 of a second at the top of the field. 6 from 7, the two DHL Penske Porsches. With almost an hour gone of the hour and 10 minutes now, and with rain falling, maybe that the track just gets a little quieter. Still out there,
the Radical, isn't it?
That is the Radical. It's the Van der Steur Racing Radical. And we haven't seen too much of that car this weekend. Tremendous piece of engineering, this little Radical. Tim Greaves and the boys back at base have done a great job. This is an AER engined car. The four-cylinder turbocharged engine, in fact, very similar to the engine that was running the old Lola that the Van der Steur Racing to keep ran last year. They didn't remember, saved all the upgrades on the engine until they got the new chassis. And I remember that car going very well towards the end of that last season at Laguna.
Ben had an awesome race against the Porsches there. It was very impressive. I mean, they are a great piece of kit. They've done really well. So it's nice to see this one back again.
Into the pit lane for that car. Yeah, we've missed them for a little while. The Van der Steur Racing team have taken a little bit of time out. We've had 21 cars onto pit lane at least. And if you add in the 37, which didn't record a lap, pieces of bodywork and front lighting assembly spread on the far side of the circuit, where John Field tagged the barriers. Well, got to go and point in the right direction very quickly and drove away from the scene of the crime very quickly indeed. wasn't a happy bunny when he came into the pit lane. So I think that we may well be looking at the cessation of hostilities here, Liz, because with just, what, 10 minutes to go in this free practice session, I don't
think
anybody's
doing right now, is it?
Well, I'm
sort of looking at shrubbery now, is what everyone seems to be focusing on, is like wildlife of Connecticut, which is nice. But,
welcome to the discovery.
Seriously. Oh, and we have a blackberry on the screen.
Are you sure?
Lovely. Nice. So we're trying to just bring everyone into the feel of Connecticut now and trying to bring those listeners in as well.
Let's go down to the pit lane. Jim Martin can bring us back to reality. Jim, what you got for us?
A little added perspective, driving in the rain versus driving on ice. Well, from my piece of the world, from time to time, there is ice and snow on the road. But if there's a good side to driving on the ice, for the most part, the ice is consistent. It's the same place everywhere you go. It's very slippery, admittedly, but it's almost the same everywhere. And if you're driving on a piece of pavement when it's wet, well, that's wonderful. It's consistent as well, except there are puddles, and that means that the coefficient of grip changes from inch to inch as you drive a driver on the surface. And you could be driving in a straight line at 150 miles an hour down the back straight at Road Atlanta during one of the Panos school cars and hit a puddle, and suddenly the car moves over by somewhere between 3 and 5 feet, and you think to yourself, wow, so this is what it's like to be terrified. It's different altogether.
How much kind of damage financially was done up to that car back there?
$4,700.
Welcome to the big league, boy.
However, with that in mind, we'd like to remind everybody, Motorsport Ministries has a chapel service tomorrow morning at 8:30 in the classroom on the second floor of the tower, and everybody's welcome to attend, including yours truly.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Martin down the pit lane. The 54 cars back out with Tim Pappas at the wheel. He's just getting one or two more laps. We haven't seen the Autocon car, the 20 Dyson, and the 62 Reese car. No surprise for the 62 car. Giuseppe said it wouldn't be coming out unless it was totally dry, and it probably just had about a 5 or 10 minute window before the rain has started again. Surprised we haven't seen the 20 car. That was the second place car this morning. Guy Smith was pedalling that like a man possessed. And I haven't heard of any problems from the Autocon team. I wonder if it's just that Mike Lewis and Chris McMurray don't want to risk the car in these conditions.
Yeah, I think it might just be a decision based on the weather. Very possible.
So with 8 minutes still to go, just the one car out the boat at the moment. Who makes the decisions at this sort of time? You know, the rain's falling, there's only 10 minutes left. You know, drivers always want to drive, seems to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to get out and do some laps. So, you know, has the team manager got to be quite stern at this sort of area?
Well, I mean, I guess it totally depends on the team, because a lot of times it's both the drivers and the team managers that make that decision. And all the teams I've been in, it has usually been a collective decision. You know, like last year at Mossport in practice, I think I recall Clint getting out and saying, I'm not going out again. If Liz wants to, that's cool. You know, and in the wet and stuff. So it just thoroughly depends on the team. But I think a lot of these teams nowadays sort of, they make that call and that's it. I think it depends, you know.
Well, let's go down to the pit lane and find out about what one very experienced driver thinks of what we've seen today. Andy Wallace, from the Dyson Racing crew. Maybe we can find out why the 20 car didn't go out. He's with Jim Martin.
Andy's sitting behind the wheel of the car currently with an umbrella over his head. And he, when I first walked by, he pointed at the umbrella, and everybody sort of shrugged. Your thoughts on the weather and what it's done to your afternoon, Andy?
Oh, well, this is a beautiful summer's day from England, this is. Old England, I mean. So, I should be used to it now. In fact, it's been raining for about 4 weeks at home, non-stop.
Well, hopefully it's not going to rain for 4 weeks here. Nonetheless, it's rendered boot qualifying and really messed up, generally, our practice session today. Did you get a chance to drive the car much at all, if at all?
Yeah, we've done a few laps this morning, but I do hope it gets dry, because you get so many people up on the banks and they're having a great time. And, of course, if it's raining, they're all going to get wet bumps from the grass. But let's hope it's nice and dry tomorrow.
We'll cross our fingers, hope it's nice and dry tomorrow. Certainly the inside of the car will be nice and dry, but with the umbrella over it, if nothing else. And in the meantime, all the best. And, it's good to be at Rob Dyson's home track again, and it's great to see you.
Well, it's great to be here. It's great to be here for Dyson Racing, and I think it's time for a cup of tea now.
It's all up to powers greater than ours. Thank you, Andy. Andy Wallace again.
Thanks. Oh, that sounded like a Panos going by. So that was the 21 car with Joey Hand at the wheel. He's out having another crack.
They've been very quick today, actually, to give them some fair credit. I was chatting with Joey earlier, and I think they're third on the grid for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they, too,
well, they were leading
are,
the time this morning for a very
were,
long
yeah.
time with
and,
Bill at the wheel.
Yeah, but he did say, I think he reckons that Billy has won more races here than any other driver on the track right now. He's won something like 12 or 13 races here.
Wow.
Not in ALMS, but in everything, collectively. So it is his circuit, and I know they are also another team that has some new compounds, a few other chassis changes. They've worked really hard on everything, really. It sounds like they've made a lot of effort on this car, so you never know. They're right up there right now.
Different tire manufacturer, of course, Yokohama, cars. The Tom Milner Akeep has worked with the Yokohama over many, many years, and consistently they seem to become, once in a while, come up with something just a bit different. Particularly, interestingly, if we do get intermediate conditions, the Yokohama Inters tend to be very good indeed.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I have driven on the Yokohama Inters, and they are good tires, but I find a lot of people in sports car racing don't usually bother with intermediates unless it is one of those really specific timings where you know it's going to stay that way for a while. Because the problem is, you know, some teams will pit for that, and then you've got to pit again to make those decisions in a long race where other teams will hold out on the wet and then go straight to slick, and you can lose more time. But I think it just depends on the conditions. But they are good tires.
That's Liz Halliday, who is joining us in the American Le Mans Series Radio Network booth today, as she will be on duty for CBS Sports Spectacular tomorrow. For the, that's what it says. I've seen the, the logo.
Sports Spectacular.
Yeah, Sports
Spectacular. That means we have to be spectacular tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, nothing other expected from you, Liz, behind the mic or behind the wheel. Looks like most people are just winding down now. There'll be a disappointment, I'm sure, from some of the teams that they've lost the practice session. Now, qualifying, well, you know, you can take or leave qualifying. It's a specific thing, and, you know, some people will say we would have been further up the grid. Some people will go, we caught a break there. But the hour of practice beforehand is what they're really going to miss, isn't it?
Well, especially on a weekend like this, because it is a short weekend. They've only got one day of practice for everything. So if there's a few teams that had some problems in the morning, I mean, they've really missed out now. So it does make the race a bit more interesting. You know, it means morning warm-up is going to be very crucial for a few teams if they, you know, have had to rebuild anything or had some problems they couldn't check in the, you know, in the dry. So it's going to be interesting to see how things go tomorrow, especially with the grid being based off of the morning practice.
Do you also think then that you mentioned morning warm-up? Do you think, well, sometimes some teams don't even bother coming out on morning warm-up, the Hugh Chamberlain, Martin Short, school of thought is nothing good can happen in morning warm-up. But there will be some teams who will still have work to do, do you think?
Well, I mean, like I say, that's another, that's thoroughly based on the teams, the drivers, who's in what, you know, how much experience everyone has. I mean, I think that's a very much team decision. I think a lot of people usually come out for morning warm-up with at least one driver, especially in a situation like this where a lot of people maybe haven't been out much or had some setup changes they wanted to try that they never got to try in the dry if they missed out on this session, you know.
Well, they're running in very difficult conditions, and it's still just sprinkling on the far side of the circuit. It's pretty much dried up. I said that. The odd spot of rain I can see falling in the puddle just on the dummy grid ahead of us. But again, blue sky. Now, the forecast for race day tomorrow, Saturday, remember, race day, here at Lime Rock Park for the sixth round of the American Le Mans Series, the Northeast Grand Prix, is completely fair. Absolutely set fair with temperatures in the late 80s and early 90s, and there are one or two of the teams who are saying, I thought that was a gearbox problem for the panels, but in fact it's just coming into pit lane. But one or two of the teams are saying, bring the heat on, because there are some cars out there, and particularly some tyres out there, that work a lot better in the heat.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen an interesting difference today chatting with people and hearing what they're using. Some compound or some tyre companies are using soft out here and going really well. The Yokohamas, I think they were on hard, so they were really quick. So, yeah, I mean, maybe that's the scenario. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting because there's so many different tire manufacturers in this series, and that's partly what makes this series so unique.
But by far the greatest number of cars are on Michelins, of course, but we also have Yokohamas, we have Kumho, we have Dunlop, of course, with Mike Lewis and Chris McMurray as well. So not a bad spread of tires, and tires can really make a difference, even in these short 2:45-minute races.
Oh, tires make a huge difference. I've learned that over the last few years. I've driven on quite a few different types of tires, and I've been lucky enough to use Michelin this year, and I've been really surprised at actually how truly impressive they are. And, you know, but a lot of that depends on the actual car the tire is on as well. Like, one tire that might work great on a GT may not work at all on a prototype or vice versa. So, yeah, it's a very interesting thing how much of a difference that makes.
As a driver, Liz, what are you looking for there? I mean, obviously you want speed, but presumably consistency is key as well.
Yeah, I think you want to, I mean, some tires will maybe come into heat really fast and then drop off. So you're looking for something that comes up, you know, quickly enough, but then sort of plateaus and stays even, if not getting better as you go on. But definitely you want something that stays nice and steady throughout a full stint, if not longer.
Just, well, we're about there for the session. Expect to see the checkered flag come out any second now. We've done the 1 hour and 10 minutes. Although, having said that, we are, well, I thought we would have had the checkered flag by now, but we're after the 22 marker. Not quite, actually. We've got about half a minute to go. The computer clock is more right. 2 minutes remaining in the session as of a minute ago. So we have got a minute to go then. Never trust the hind of timepiece. Always look at the computer clock. So let's quickly run through the times. Ryan Briscoe with an impressive 45.7. I do think, Liz, if the Porsches had wanted to, they probably, had they stayed out, could have bettered that time this afternoon.
I think so, yeah. I mean, well, then it did start to rain. But, you know, I think we'll definitely see some really impressive moves from them. And the times are so much quicker than last year already, which is amazing.
Now, we've got one of the Porsches, the 7 car, is on the front, on the pole, in fact, which is right-hand side here. Alongside them will be the 20 car, which we haven't seen as the checkered flag goes out. We haven't seen the 20 Dyson car this afternoon. We're not reading too much into that, and we haven't yet had a report about why that car hasn't gone out. It may just be a decision by the team. But there we've got two Porsches again on the front row. What can they do, and indeed what can the cars behind them do, to stop the Audis with their big torque, albeit coming from row 4? How can they stop them driving around? Have they just got to make themselves really wide?
Yeah, but I mean, we are on a narrow circuit with a lot of corners and a lot of traffic. So that's going to make it trickier for them than it did at, say, Salt Lake, where we had a big long straight that they could really stretch the legs on at the start. Here we've got a really tight circuit where you're never going to be on your own, virtually. You know, we're on a 45 second lap. So I think they'll struggle more with that, and I think everyone's going to be making their best effort to be in their way. I think you'll find. So it's going to be trickier for them here. We'll have to see.
So what the Audis have got to do is try and get somewhere, make up a few positions off the start line, and then end the lap one down the long straightaway. If they can, they've got to try and get the lead and then just hold on. Is that what we're seeing?
Yeah, or I mean, we might see them pulling out of the chicane a bit better. They do have a bit more grunt and a bit more low down torque.
Is there any overtaking opportunity from the chicane down to the last turn? I mean, is it possible?
It is possible if you're up close enough to somebody and you can jump down the inside. But I mean, I think they'd really have to be on it to succeed, you know, because nobody's going to let them have it in this grid.
And presumably as well, you've got to have some consideration from the driver you're trying to pass, because if you stick your nose in coming up the last corner, really that could be a very big accident indeed.
Well, like I say, I mean, on this grid, the drivers you have, nobody's going to just let anybody through, are they? Everybody's racing, everyone wants to beat everyone, you know, it's the whole, well, he's not in my class thing has gone completely away. All the P2s want to win, 100%, so yeah, I think it's going to be a lively race tomorrow.
In this session, the gap was 1.7 seconds this morning. It's down to 1.3 seconds with the time that Alan McNish put in earlier on, but that's still a big gap, of course, between the fastest Audi and the fastest Porsche. Let's go down to the pit lane before we run down the rest of the times for you. And the Vanisher Racing got out for a lap or two, I think, in that radical. Adam Pecorari, has he had enough time on the circuit, Jim Martin?
I'm not sure. Have you had enough time on the circuit, or could you always stand more?
You can always use more time in a circuit. You can have 50, 100, 200 laps. You're never enough. I mean, it's fun out there. That's why we're all here, is to have fun. So we're on the track, we're having fun. You always want more, but I think we're decent going into the race.
Hey, it's a great looking car. It's the team looks better every time I see it. And of course they've added to the driving talent thing of things too with your name on the side of the car these days. It's all good. As far as the car and the learning experience, there's got to be a ton of things to learn all at once.
Well, I mean, first of all, we're coming into the season halfway through, so that's already a big start. But I mean, we've been testing a bit, and we've been getting better every time on track. We finally got all the mechanical gremlins out of the car. So now it's all set up. So that's the fun part, working with the setup. Now we're just out there. We're working with shock springs, camber, toe, caster, everything, just trying to make the car handle better. And that's a fun thing for me. It's a fun thing for me to make the car handle better, Gunner and I. So it's fun to be here. I mean, we're a great small team. I really, really think in the next few races we can turn some heads.
Hey, we can't wait for it to happen. In the meantime, Adam and Gunnar, all the best, and we'll watch for the 19th car tomorrow.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Adam.
So the first the Audi's in third position in that session, and then it was David Brabham, Luis Diaz, Marco Werner, and Marino Franchitti in seventh position. Andy Wallace in the only Dyson that we saw out in eighth, 3.3 seconds behind the leader. Ben Devlin, who did so well in the marginal conditions early on, 49.9, did better that time. In ninth position, the best of the GT2 cars, Darren Turner, just a couple of tenths ahead of Robin Liddell in the 71 Tafel Racing Porsche. And then a big weekend. You can just feel it, a big weekend coming for the Spinos Esperante, Bill Oberlin and Joey Hans this afternoon, Bill Oberlin this morning, pedalling that car for all they're worth. Third position there, reward. However, that was this afternoon, and those times will stand for nothing because in pole position set from the practice times this morning, decided in the midst of the rainstorm earlier on this afternoon, it will be the number 7 Porsche RS Spider, the DHL Penske car of Romain Dumoulin, Timo Bernhard on a 44.6. The times will not be entered as records, or at least they shouldn't be, because it wasn't an official practice, it wasn't an official qualifying session. It was purely a practice session. Guy Smith, it was, who did the time of 45.1 for the 20 car, will start alongside him. Then it's the second row, it's all Acura. Dave Brabham and Stephanie Johansson, 45.7. Ryan Hurtner and Marino Franchitti, 45.8. It'll be interesting to see who starts that car. Marino, the last couple of times he started, has had two tremendous starts and either got in, I think he's both times actually got into second place at St. Pete and then at Utah. In the fourth row, it's all Audi. I missed out Sacha Masson and Ryan Briscoe in the third row, and Fernandez and Diaz in the third of the Acuras in sixth position. Then the fourth row is one and two, the two Audis. Can they come from that far back? And then, rather disappointing performance for the 16 car. Andy Wallace and Butch Leitinger there alongside Ben Devlin and Jamie Bach. And the rest of the prototype will be John Clinfield, that car needing some work on it tonight by the Intersport Mechanics after a shunt by John Field earlier in that session. And Adam Pecoraro, as you said there, will start in 12th position in the Van der Steur racing car. The GT1 cars will start 4 and 3, and then in pole for, at least with, in pole, I suppose you can call it. It hasn't won pole, but it will be in pole. The Turner Thomas Enger car, the 31 Peterson White Lightning car, all Ferrari front row in GT2 with Mika Salo and Jamie Merlo in the reseat. Then Bill Oberlin and Joey Hand in third as they were in that session. And Ralph Kellers and Tom Milner Jr. Good starting position for the Rahal Letterman Porsche. That's about it from us. We'll wrap things up now. My thanks to our intrepid pitlane reporting team of Bernadette Sanicola and Jim Martin. Also to our studio guest who did bring a note for being late. So it's all right, Liz. You don't get demerits for that. Liz Halliday with us. I'm John Hindorf. Do join us for the warm-up tomorrow and, of course, the build-up and the whole race live. It's the sixth round of the American Le Mans Series, the Northeast Grand Prix. 2 hours and 45 minutes tomorrow, Saturday. It's a race full of promise as we move into the second half of the ALMS season. For all of the team here at Lime Rock Park, my name's John Hindorf. We'll now turn you back to the local commentators here at the track and to your normal programmes on the Globecast Radio Network. From Lime Rock Park, cheerio now. Bye-bye.